So I'm thankful for that. Turn to Revelation 13. Can I tell you a little funny? Everybody up for funny? And if you're riding around with Chad Eastep, it's always funny. And we had a great day today, didn't we, Chad? We started out early, went up there, came back, and spent. We didn't get back to the church till about 4:30. But it was kind of unusual, Chad. You know, Chad, sometimes he's, you never know what you're going to get from Chad. But he was driving. I wasn't. I wish I was when we went down on some of them curvy roads today. But anyway, I told his sisters I was going to tell them. Those, by the way, they're the good children. And girls, here's what happened. We got in the car, and I thought, man, this is going to be a spiritual awakening. Brother Chad turned on his Apple Music, and here's what he put on. This is what heaven means to me. Man, I'm about ready to shout. We didn't even get out of Chase Valley. And then he said, you want to request anything? And I said, well, yeah. I wanted to worship a little bit. So I said, won't you put Vestal Goodman on there, God Walks the Dark Hills. And some of you don't know them old songs. It's all right. I do, and I like them. And she got cracking down on that, and a tear come in my eye, and I'm about ready to shout. And then then I said, can I do another one? And he said, yeah. I said, put old Rusty Goodman on there and play the Lighthouse. And as we got on up the road, man, I'm telling you, I'm about to shout glory. I said, can I have one more request? I said, put old Dottie Rambo on there. And he looked beyond my faults and saw my name. And man, we were cracking. I thought, Holy Ghost of God's coming down now. We got about 5 minutes from the funeral home. And I thought, you know, I've been selfish, me requesting all the music. And I said, Brother Chad, won't you get something spiritual? And why don't you play something? I've shared 3 songs, and you play one now. And so here's what he did. He said, hey, Siri. And here comes Siri. He said, play Merle Haggard. Okie from Muskogee. You know him? Yeah. I want you to know the Spirit of God went, Y'all all laugh. Guess what that is? That's a medicine. Amen. We had a great day. Hey, by the way, I love working with these 5 guys. They were wonderful. And our secretary, somebody was complimenting her today. There's no better secretary than Cindy. And thank God for us. And I'm glad for what God's doing here. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. I know I'm taking a little bit of time, but I just want to share all that with you. Pray for these people I mentioned tonight. Let's kick it. Revelation 13. Are you there? Say amen. Now, I am going to split this chapter up. I cannot do it all in one sermon. I may not even get all of the first 10 verses about the beast, the first beast, tonight. So I'll do what I can, and then next week I'll come back and finish. If I have to finish some of this, I will. I feel like I probably will. But let's read the verse 10 verses. Now, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leper, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him power, or gave him his power, and his seat and great authority. Now listen to this. I want y'all to really pay attention. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, And all the world wondered after the beast. Listen. And they worshiped the dragon. That's the devil. That's Lucifer. Which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So it really tells you where we're at in tribulation right now. We're right in the middle, heading to the end. Okay? He's already been revealed, but not in this manner. This is him totally sold over to the devil. And the devil manifests himself. Now, he comes at the beginning of the book or Revelation 6 as a peacemaker. He ain't that anymore. And he opened his mouth and in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him, listen to this, to make war with the saints. Now, I want to make sure you get clear on this, okay? This is not church saints. This is not church saints. Are y'all with me? This is tribulation saints. And I want to share something about them. That I think most of the people that get born again during the tribulation is going to die a martyr's death. Now, I'm not talking about the sheep nations that will go into the millennial. I'm talking about the saints who will get their resurrected body in Revelation chapter 20 when it says, blessed are they that have part in the first resurrection. And I'll talk about that in a little while. And to overcome them, and the power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. That's the beast. Whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now here's an interesting verse placed here that I will prove something in a little bit. If any man hath an ear, let him what? That's an amazing verse. Now this verse, actually, the first part of that verse had already been mentioned 7 times in the book of Revelation, in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3. Remember our study? But see, there's one thing missing in this verse tonight. I'll let you think about that and see if you can remember what's missing, because it's wonderful. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. I tell you what, to be saved during the millennial or tribulation period is going to cost them something. Amen. So let's begin our study. And like I said, I may not get through it, but I'm going to take my time. Is that okay? Because this is deep stuff tonight. We're talking tonight, this beast here, put in your notes or your margin of your Bible, if you would. That's the Antichrist. And by the way, the Antichrist is the beast from the sea. We're going to find two beasts in Revelation chapter number 13. One of them comes out of the sea, Brother Chad, and one of them comes out of the earth. One of them is a political leader. And the other is a religious leader. This political leader will have his religion. A one world church. A universal church. A similar church that Constantine formed in 300 AD. We'll get to that later. I just want to kind of get your mind thinking this way. This word Antichrist conjures up images of a supreme evil, ultimate deception, and a eschatological holocaust. It's called a beast coming out of the sea. Now, with your finger, will you just hold there And I want you to see something. Go over to about a page over to Revelation 11:7. And when you get there, say amen. Not only comes out of the sea, but his origin is the abyss or the bottomless pit, Chad, this beast. Let me show the people. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the two witnesses, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, those two witnesses, and overcome them and kill them. So where was his origin? His origin was the abyss. Y'all with me? Everybody still understanding? Now let me keep going. Now, it speaks of one who's coming at the end of history. By the way, we're at the end of history. Though I want you to understand, and this is important, Travis, to understand, there's been many forerunners. Now, can I show you something? Well, do you mind me taking some time tonight? Because we're in critical area here. I want to get this right for you. So to get it right, you've got to use your Bible. So you got your Bibles? Go first to 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 18. Then just stay with me as I cruise through three verses in 1 John. Two in 1 John and one in 2 John. And by the way, John mentions the Antichrist three times. So I want you to see the context in which he mentions them. Are you there? Look at verse number 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard, that the Antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So, there were forerunners of the Antichrist. They were in Paul's day, in John's day. And God have mercy, they're definitely in our day. Now go up to chapter 4 and verse 3. When you get there, say amen. I just want you to follow me a minute. I could bog down. I could just go over this and just fly by it. I'm not going to do it. I didn't make my mind up. I'm going to take my time in this section because it's so important. Now look with me in chapter 4, verse 3. If you're there, say amen. Now let me read verse 2 also. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. You want to know the Spirit of God? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. Those that believe in the deity of Christ, that God was made flesh and dwell among us. That's essential. But listen to this. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is the Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And there is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now has already entered in the world, that is in the world. I want y'all to know something. I'm not going to tell you that the personal Antichrist is on the face of the earth right now. I'm not going to tell you that. Not this Antichrist. I don't know that. But I will tell you this. The spirit of the Antichrist has been here since Paul's day and John's day and is here right now. Ladies and gentlemen, look at world events. And from the devil's side of world events, guess whose spirit is organizing what's going on right now? I'll say some things about this thing, AI, a little bit. Maybe not as much this week as I will next week, but I really want you to hear some things I'll be saying about that. Y'all still with me? Now, in verse 2 of chapter 13, well, let me give you one more. 2 John 7, are you there? For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not, but listen to this, confess not that Jesus has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and a antichrist. And by the way, there's pulpits in America in churches that do not preach the deity of Christ. I say this, I hope I don't get anybody mad. I'm trying to not get anybody mad. But back in the 70s, in the Southern Baptist Convention, all five of those schools, Southern Baptist schools, had professors that did not believe in the deity of Christ. And there's still some of them there even to this day. That's kind of horrifying, isn't it? Now, it's interesting to notice, and I want you to notice, the word Antichrist does not appear a single time in Revelation. It's just not there. It's found in 1 John. In the Apocalypse, he is called the Beast. His name's not the Antichrist. He's called the Beast. Are y'all with me? I hope I'm helping you. Now, let me show you who he's called in other passages of Scripture. Daniel 7:8, he's called the Little Horn. In Daniel 9:27, he's called the Prince who is to come, who makes a peace pact with Israel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, he's called the Lawless One or the Man of Sin. And then, of course, 1 John, he's called the Antichrist. The word Antichrist means one who is against Christ, or one who takes the place of Christ. Y'all all with me? Now let me go on a little further. Now it's important to understand that concept of the idea of man, of the Antichrist, is multifaceted. Now let me give you four things. First of all, it's an evil empire or political power. Secondly, it's a past and present impersonal force, presence, or spirit, the evil spirit of the age. Thirdly, it's literal persons who are forerunners of the final Antichrist. And I'll name some of them in a minute. And the final and climatic embodiment of satanic power and opposition to God is the Antichrist. Now, and I know y'all, is this okay? You say you're really slow tonight. Well, you'd be slow too if you're dealing with all I'm dealing with. There's a fluidity and even an overlap, especially in Revelation 13, where the beast or the Antichrist, at times, Chad, seems to be a political empire. All right, let me give you an example. If I give you a word association, I want you to give me another word, Mike. And all of Nazi Germany. What do you think of? Hitler. Hitler. Interchangeable, aren't they? The system and the person. If you think of America, you think of George Washington. I'm not calling George Washington Antichrist. I'm just making a point. Throughout history, many candidates have come and we fought them to be Antichrist. Bernard McQueen, in his book, The Antichrist, it says 2,000 years of human fascination has been with the Antichrist. And by the way, this term Antichrist is very Jewish. And I want y'all to know, I believe the Antichrist is going to be a Jew. Now, I'll give you this later. I don't have time tonight. But I believe he'll be an Assyrian Jew. He is called the Assyrian. Right? He's called the Assyrian. Now, there's Old Testament types in the Bible about the Antichrist. Pharaoh was a picture of the Antichrist. Nebuchadnezzar was a picture of the Antichrist. Cyrus. And there's especially one other guy. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes. And by the way, there's a lot of people believe that Antiochus Epiphanes actually is the fulfillment of the Antichrist. But he is not. But I'm giving you a lot. Let me share a little bit. Antiochus Epiphanes was the first person that went into the temple and offered a sow on the altar and sprayed boar juice on the altar of God. He was a forerunner of the Antichrist and a type. Notable suggestions such as Nero, Domitian, Constantine, Charlemagne, Napoleon, Mussolini, Stalin, Hitler, Gorbachev. Hey, when I was a young Christian and starting out my Bible study, and Brother Ronnie Rucker was teaching, and we was having revelation on Monday night, we all thought Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. Now, you know, we got his name and his numbers and all of that. We all come to the conclusion Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist. I've even heard Jimmy Carter was. I don't believe Jimmy Carter was. He's a nice guy. He just wasn't a good president. Quiet in here. I want you to know, I don't know if you know this, Chad, but Calvin and Cotton Mather, John Knox, Cramer, John Wesley, and Roger Williams all believe the Pope was the Antichrist. I don't believe the Pope's the Antichrist, but I kind of really believe he is the false prophet. Because he's going to establish a universal church just like Constantine does. And God, whoo. Everybody okay? Believe this or not, this is all introduction. I haven't even got to one point yet. Now, this has been 24 years ago, but on November the 1st, 1999, Newsweek's cover story was prophecy. It was reported that 40% of U.S. adults believed that the world would end with a battle of Armageddon and that Jesus and the Antichrist would fight. And Jesus would overcome him. And by the way, that will literally happen. But I believe in Revelation 13. I want you to hear me. I'm starting to speed up now. And the Bible's teaching on the Antichrist is not intended for us just to provoke our speculation as to who he is. What I think he is designed to instruct us now and in every generation how the Antichrist do and how they work. You know, the spirit of the Antichrist is here right now. Jim Jones said he was the Antichrist, the Christ. Convinced what? How many? 900 people to drink the Kool-Aid? Commit suicide on his watch? And if you study him any, his whole basis was prophecy. Now, I'm moving close to starting when we almost have to finish. I want all y'all hear me. How many of you, look at me now, look at me. Everybody looking? How many of you believe God is a Trinity? Well, let's see. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost. Y'all all believe that? You believe it? There's three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Now I know the modern Bibles take that out. The Authorized Version, King James, does not take it out. But most other versions take it out. But I want you to know it belongs where it is. I want y'all to know something. Satan is a Trinity, right? Or God's a Trinity, right? Can I tell you Satan's a Trinity? He's a counterfeiter. Satan is the counterfeit for God the Father or the dragon. The Antichrist is a counterfeit for God the Son. And the false prophet is a counterfeit for God the Holy Spirit. Why don't you understand why the Bible says for us as believers to try the spirits to see if they're of God? You know why there's a lot of people buying a bunch of garbage today in this world? Because they don't try the Spirit. Now let's let's lunge in. You got your outline. You can put notes in between it if you like. Number one in your outline, Satan works through evil individuals and governments to advance his kingdom. How many of y'all believe that? I'll prove that in a minute. There will be an ultimate government, a political government under the Antichrist. And Satan will run the show, and the beast will be the politician of that government. Now, notice verse 1 and 2. Satan the dragon in chapter 12 is standing on the sea. 12:17. He's often associated with evil in the ancient world and chaos. And also, I told you, it symbolizes the abyss and satanic activity. Let me ask you something. How many of you agree with me that satanic activity is stronger than it's ever been? Now, I got to be careful. I ain't going to be, but when we were fighting some of this fight last summer about the situation of down at the park, and we were fighting that fight, and when we got into the fight, here's what happened. That crowd pulled in the heavy guns. And you know who they invited to our meeting over to the courthouse? And was there? People in the satanic temple. Ladies and gentlemen, some of these perverse lifestyles is rooted in the devil. And is an abomination. And they are now, because no right church that tries to preach the Bible can condone that lifestyle. Am I right or wrong? So now they just don't fit. But I tell you where they do fit. In the satanic temple. And you may not understand why the activity right now, all the satanic activity, but I'm telling you tonight, it's because right now we're just about out of here. We're getting ready to leave. Now, let me say this. Others think it could represent the nations of the world with all the ethnic, national, political, and social wickedness. Now, MacArthur. Me and MacArthur don't agree on everything, but he is a smart man. He said, from the sea, John sees a beast out with 10 horns and 7 heads and 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemes names on the heads. The word beast there appears 16 times in this chapter, and 15 times it references the Antichrist, and one time it references the false prophet. This begins the biography of the Antichrist, or the beast. 10 horns speaks of great power. 7 heads may draw from a 7-headed monster or mythological Eastern text. Had 10 diadems conveying great authority and political influence. However, now let me say something to you. In Revelation 17, those 7 heads are also talking about the 7 mountains of Rome. And then the 10 horns are symbolic of the 10 nations that are there from the Roman Empire. Y'all with me? So I want you to know, here's what's going to happen. The Roman Empire is going to have a restoration. The harlot church will be Roman. Will be the universal church. How many's heard about the Reformation? Those churches pulled out. When Martin Luther said the just shall live by faith and went up the 16 steps on his knees. And they pulled out. Now that same group is going back under a universal head. And they're going to be a one world religion and a one world government. Y'all all right? And if y'all can see that, and I want you to know, y'all want to know why America is anemic? And we are. Our president right now is as weak as water. God Almighty, help us. Disgraceful. I'm just going to tell you. And some of them people in Congress, these left-wing progressives, they hate Israel. The Antichrist hates Israel. I don't mean to. Go on, preacher. Hurry up. Now, in addition to these 10 horns, the beast is described by John having 7 heads. Now, Chad and I was discussing that. Let me show you what these 7 heads were initially. And of course, and I want you to see them. Here's the 7 heads. It's actually the 7 great societies. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, and the Antichrist, final one. Now, I want you to know something. Let's go over to our reading a little bit. Are y'all with me? Oh, it's in after. I want you to know something. Look at verse number 2. And the beast which I saw, now look at what he saw, was like unto a what? Leper. And his feet were as like a feet of a what? And his mouth as the mouth of a what? And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now I ask the church something. Y'all look at me. Bible students, look at me. Has that vision ever been before? If it's been before, raise your hand if you think it's been before. 3 of you. How many of you just don't know? And you want to learn. Okay? Turn to Daniel 7. Might as well let you know. But I want y'all to know something. It's in reverse order. You say, why? It's simple, really. Because when Daniel wrote it, he was looking forward in history. And when John wrote it, he was looking back in history. So he went in reverse order. Y'all with me? Don't y'all go sleep. It's almost 8:11. Not tweepy-teepy time. Turn over to Daniel 7. I want you to read it. I want you to see this. Because this is the same vision. But in reverse order. Daniel 7, if you're there, say amen. Verse 3. And 4 great beasts come up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like to a lion, and had eagle's wings, and beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from earth, and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And another beast, a second, was like unto a what? Bear. And it raised up on itself on its side, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said unto it, arise, devour much flesh. After this, behold, and lo, what? Another one, a leper, which had upon his back of it 4 wings of a fowl. The beast had also 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. And this I saw in the night visions. And behold, a 4th beast, dreadful and terrible and strong and exceeding. And it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that that were before, and it had how many horns? And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among those horns, a little horn. Guess who the little horn is? The Antichrist. See what you're saying? Same vision, Chad. Just in reverse order. Now, hey, by the way, Nebuchadnezzar's big image, head of gold. What is it? Breastplate of silver, wasn't it? Then brass, then iron, and then feet, iron and clay. You say, what's that represent? Head of gold, Babylon. Arms and breast, Medo Persia. Legs, the two legs, or this part, Alexander the Great, the Grecian Empire. And then the iron, that iron is the Roman Empire. You got two legs, got the eastern wing and the western wing. You say, well, what's them 10 toes? Same as the 10 horns. And by the way, they're made of will glory. They're made, you have a good time. They're made of clay and iron. So what that means, that's a weak system. But that, hey, by the way, what you have just heard from your preacher is the whole Gentile history from then until the coming of the Lord, when the Ancient of Days comes back and crushes them 10 toes. How many's all right? Oh, what a day. Now, here's the problem. I've got to shut it down. How many's enjoying this? Y'all okay? I'm trying. I you know what? Right now, I'm putting more time, more effort, more prayer in my studies than I have since I came here when I was 27 years old. I love it. Listen, we're at the edge. I say this, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. But here's my thinking. Is everybody in this room ready? Won't you stand to your feet? Want you to, if you're lost tonight, come up here. If you can kneel, kneel. If you can't kneel, just stand. And we'll help you with the Bible. But you ought to come and get saved tonight. You don't want to be left behind. And ladies and gentlemen, I'll start here next week. Heads bowed and eyes closed. How many knows you're saved? And raise your hand high and wave them at me and say, glory. How many here tonight, you don't know for sure you're saved? Just slip your hand up. Say, I don't know I'm saved, but I want to be. I don't want to die lost. I want you to pray for me. Slip your hand up. God bless you tonight. We love you. You pray for us, sister. If you want to sing something, you can, just as I am or something. Just a little verse.